Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Hey, good morning to you. 908 on KDXU. I'm Andy Griffin. Mayor Chris Staley from Washington City is here. Hi, Chris. How you doing?
Doing well. Good morning, Andy.
We were both just talking about our favorite people in the whole world. Chris about his wife, and me about mine. And mine actually sent me a little sentimental thing about how much she loves her husband this morning. A little meme. I was like, oh, that was so sweet.
I got a protein shake.
Yeah.
Lynette made me a protein shake this morning.
That is love right there.
There you go.
That is love right there. I couldn't do the protein shake or bar this morning. I need to, but I just couldn't. You know how some days you're just like, couldn't do it. So I had peanut butter instead, which has protein in it, right?
Well, you get up a lot earlier than I do. Yes, I mean, what time do you get up and get here?
I'm usually here about 5:30-ish.
Yeah.
You know?
Most people are still asleep, you know.
Yeah, I know. I sometimes went.
Sane people are still asleep.
You know, most of my career, I was a sports writer, and that's a late night job. I'm used to being up 2 or 3 in the morning writing sports, and then I got this job, and it's like, you're not going to get up. You're not going to stay up till 2 or 3. You're going to get up at 4. And I was like, that's kind of strange. Here we are. And Mayor Staley is maybe the biggest fan, proponent, cheerleader of the city of Washington that you will ever want to meet. He loves where he lives and where he is the mayor.
I wear that badge proudly. Thank you.
Yeah. Got to attend your State of the City address, and your speech was great. Everything about it was fantastic. But I think the biggest buzz at the meeting was the Pioneer photos that came alive. Holy cow. After the meeting, everybody, look at that. Whoa. Of course, they ran him again so you could see him again. But, yeah, everybody was buzzing about that. And, I mean, you think about a picture, what are they, 150 years old, 100 whatever? And
so, yeah, they're old. They're probably not quite 150 years old.
Okay.
But
maybe 50 or something.
Yeah, they're black and white.
I was going to say 50, but that's only 1975. So maybe 100 years old. Anyway.
Well, it was remarkable. So, you know, you call him Stevie Wonder, you know, IT guy, Stephen Whittakin. He dropped a bunch of our old archived photos, just historical photos, into AI. And you're right. It brought these photos to life.
They were actually moving, yeah, like waving and smiling and I mean it was amazing.
Like tractors rolling,
yeah.
And
did you see the one where the lady holds up the grapes? I guess they were grapes, but I was like, how did they do that? That's amazing.
It was so cool. And then, you know, with the sound system in the Heritage Hall, and then we projected them side by side on two of those screens, and we paired it with Our Town, a James Taylor song.
Yeah.
And so.
Who just had a birthday, by the way.
And,
yesterday.
You know, the younger generation will remember that song from the movie Cars.
Right.
But it just fit, and it stirred so much emotion in that room. Right. It was, and for me, I saw pictures of my great-grandfather playing his violin. I've never met him before, but it in a way brought them to life. Yeah. I started tearing up a little bit. I had to get myself together before the speech, but it was cool.
Your cousin Burke was talking about a picture. Was it his dad or his granddad as a little boy?
Yes.
And he was moving in the photos. Like, what?
Yes.
That's pretty cool.
Yes.
So, pretty cool. But, yeah, State of the City address. Would you say the state, I'm just right up front, the State of Washington City, good, bad, medium, outstanding, what?
Outstanding. We have so much positive momentum right now. We have embraced our strong Dixie Cotton Mission Pioneer heritage, and we are rowing with the current on growing and evolving as a city should, without losing that connection to our roots. And I think that's what's critical. We have that strong foundation, and in fact, speaking about that foundation, Cotton Days is coming up. And we'll have open houses of Heritage Hall, which we used to call the old gym. And we'll show those videos. And I'm going to go in depth kind of on that remodel and things. But so if the community wants to come out, they'll be able to see that. And then we're going to do a dedication on Sunday, April 27th as well.
Nice. Just a little over a month from now. Very cool.
Yeah. But the short answer is and I'm so biased, but I'm an optimist. I'm positive by nature. And so my short answer about the city that I'm honored to represent is outstanding.
Nice. Very nice.
And that's not, that's because of the people. That's because of my councils, because of the staff, the residents. We just have a great group of individuals that do the right thing.
Now, there was a couple of, speaking of people, a couple of people you honored at the beginning of your State of the City address. One of them is the American Trailblazer Award, and you gave it to Judge Lee Bunnell. Now, those that don't know Lee Bunnell, congratulations. You stayed out of trouble in Washington City. If you do know Judge Bunnell, maybe you know him socially, or maybe you got in trouble once and had to face the judge.
He may have conducted your marriage.
Yeah, that's true. Judge Bunnell was a judge for 35 years for the Washington City Justice Court. I'm proud to say my wife, 22 of those 35 years, was his court clerk.
Yes.
So, Lee, great guy. First of all, kind of a paradox in his life. He was a football coach, tough guy, football guy. He was also the head of the science department. Yes. And a biology professor. And I found out yesterday he taught algebra, or day before yesterday, he taught algebra for several years. And, of course, was a Justice Court judge. So a lot accomplished. And you found out something about him having to do with a tree.
Oh, yes. So he's an avid gardener. And if you see his house there on, 300 East in Washington or 300 West in Washington, you would appreciate his yard. But he has the oldest registered ponderosa pine in Washington County. And,
wow.
And that is something to be proud of, I think.
I didn't know you had to register your pines.
I had no idea either. But, the other thing, aside from his professional and his, public service, he's also had some pretty significant ecclesiastic service. He's served as a bishop and as a member of a stake presidency, and so he has really made a mark in Washington.
Let's go way back on him. In 1963, Lee was a running back on an undefeated Dixie College team.
That's right.
The one and only ever undefeated Dixie College football team. And he went on to play after Dixie. It was a junior college, and went on to play at Weber State. And he was telling me at lunch the other day, he said, we had several guys on that team that went on to play in the NFL. They were some pretty stud guys. He said that was the same year I think O.J. Simpson won the Heisman Trophy.
Okay.
That was the year he played up at Weber State. But and then he went on to coach Dixie College from 71 to 79, I think it was.
Yeah, head coach.
Yeah, head coach. Yeah, he was the main man and had a great success doing that. I mean, this was pre-Croshaw year. So for those of us that have been around a long time, we're like, oh, yeah, I remember when Croshaw was first getting good. Well, this was actually before that.
Bunnell.
So judge, coach, science professor, and judge.
Real quick on that, the only reason that he retired at age 75 was because
they made him.
Yeah. and here we are, nearly 10 years later, and he is at the community center almost every day. I mean, he is still he's still a rock. Yeah. I mean, he is really healthy.
The other award, Mayor's Award for Public Service, went to Robert Everett. Now, I didn't know Mr. Everett before this meeting. You did a nice intro on him, but what can you tell us about Robert Everett?
Yeah, I mean, he was a career educator, 35 years, mm-hmm. 11 of those years as the principal at Washington Elementary.
Right there on 300.
One of the things that I loved about him, and I knew him growing up, he was my bishop when I was a child, but he built a two-story brick home on his family's dairy and farm, mm-hmm. in the fields, the Washington fields, when it's still part of the county. Now, that was annexed into town in the 1980s. But through the 80s, even into the 90s, he had a 300-gallon tank on his green. I believe it was a Chev pickup truck.
Old pickup, yeah.
For which he transported water for his household and farm use.
Really?
Raising 10 children, Native American placement students there. And, goats and cattle and sheep and just an amazing man and one of those quiet guys, a baseball guy, little league coach. Nice. And, just kind of aging. And I thought some of these unsung heroes need to be remembered and recognized.
I love that. People can accuse us of living in the past for honoring those guys. And you talked a little bit about the country of roads that used to be in Washington City and stuff. But I think there was a bigger sense of morality back then. Of it was okay to worship, you know. And,
yeah.
And now, I mean, if you look at, you know, modern television, usually the Christians, the ones that are religious, are the butt of all the jokes. And, you know, and I like kind of at least remembering the past and what was great about it. So.
Yeah, he's just a remarkable man, and it was fun to see him there. He's getting a little older, and he joked with me that your Uncle George gave me this walking stick, so he came in with a walking stick, and it was great to see some of their family members there, and really appreciate Mr. Everett. And again, you know, for a long time, Washington Elementary was the only, other than the two-story sandstone original school, Washington Elementary was the only school, so he was the only principal there.
And again, I've said this many times, but now you have a high school in Washington City. It is not Pineview High School. People think Pineview is in Washington. It's actually technically in St. George. Crimson Cliffs
yes.
is in Washington.
And our population of students split between the two schools, and we love them both. But it's fun to have one that we can say is officially within our municipal boundary.
Yeah, and state champions, too. Let's see. The meeting was held in what used to be called the old gym, and it still has the wood floor like a gym, but we're calling it Heritage Hall now.
Yes.
Hopefully we can get used to that. I think I already am, but I wrote a story about it, so of course I am. But tell us about the building a little bit. Some of the things that you discovered during the remodel and reconstruction of the interior.
Yeah, so it's a 100-year-old addition mm-hmm. to the sandstone school, the two-story school. So it was fitting that we finished the remodel about 100 years exactly. But one thing that nobody knew is, and I remember playing, I mean, it seemed a lot bigger than it is because we would wheel in basketball hoops, basketball standards, and tire tractors, set them on each side, and you'd play basketball, but you couldn't shoot too high or you would hit the ceiling. Now, what nobody knew is that drop ceiling that was done in 1957 enclosed and hid these beautiful wood and iron rafters.
Yeah, they're beautiful, yeah.
And so we didn't know that until we started the remodel. We peeled back the ceiling and looked up in there, and we found these rafters, and so we were able to expose those, and I think they are just, they're just stunning. In fact, they're the kind of rafters that modern decor tries to emulate and recreate today. Yeah. And so these are the actual original rafters.
Now, was there work done on those? Like, did you stain them and polish them and stuff? Or
so because of the dropped ceiling, it preserved them remarkably well. There were a few areas near the stage that we had to restain. There were a few areas where we added some iron to kind of reinforce the rafter. Hmm. But for the most part, we just cleaned them. And then one thing that was really interesting is on the bottom of each, so they have these poles that go down through the rafters. And people were asking me, Mayor, what are the hooks at the end of each of these?
Right, I saw those. Yeah.
And as I thought about this more and more, the only thing I could come up with, and unless somebody who's listening has a better idea, I'm thinking 100 years old, it's likely the hooks were to hang lanterns for light because
yeah,
we discovered
electricity.
We discovered the fireplace for the heating.
Yeah. That's a good point. Wow. If you haven't seen it, so if I wanted to see the new Heritage Hall, and I didn't make it to the, shame on you if you didn't make it to the mayor's State of the City, what would be the best way to do that? When will it be open so that I could look at it?
So for sure over Cotton Days. So that's going to be Saturday, April 26th. I'm going to be doing two or three different just kind of open houses, and I'm going to be talking about the story of it. We're going to have a dedication, like I said, on April 27th. But really what we're trying to do is, one thing I mentioned in my State of the City is this space was our original community center. Now we have this big new community center.
It's beautiful.
But this was our community center where people not only went to the school, but the community gathered for decades. So many traditions, parties, you know, plays and performances all occurred there on the stage. So what I'm trying to do is this belongs to the residents. So my goal is to open that up as much as possible. And then you have to reserve it and there's some policies, but we're really trying to make this accessible as we continue to kind of breathe life into that downtown. We want people to be there and gather and use it. So just keep your eyes and ears open for opportunities to go in there. And certainly over Cotton Days will be a great opportunity.
Tell us about the foundation and the sandstone walls. I guess it's pretty significant.
Yeah, and we tested the foundation when we did the remodel, and still solid. Solid as a pun intended, as a rock. I mean, it's basalt lava foundation that goes around the perimeter of both the school and the gym, the Heritage Hall now, and then upon which masons stacked locally quarried sandstone walls. Yeah. So originally, the interior and the exterior were these same quarried stones, like these rectangular stones. And it's cool because if you look at them, they each kind of have a hole in the middle where they had the grips where they would lift and set those.
Right.
And then if you read back through the history, particularly like Arthur Paxman, who was the mayor at the time and kind of the driving force behind the addition, he talks about these being local masons, so at the time St. George couldn't say that we had to send our artisans to go and build your social hall. Yeah. So we were proud that it was our local masons that did that. It might have been Averett Brothers. I can't remember. I'd have to look at the history to make sure.
Now, about the Pioneer Window, tell us about that.
So it was another thing that was hidden. So there's a door that goes from the schoolhouse, that's now the museum, into the gym, that's now the hall. And in the middle of that, kind of furred in, we found this beautiful carpentry arch and a Pioneer Window that was just kind of, you know, left there. And so we wanted to be sure to, highlight that, accentuate that. So what we thought is, let's go with the original color that it was. And we actually had to sand through four separate colors. We had this kind of, this kind of a cream color, this mint color, something else. And ultimately we got to a green color. And we had the painter come over and he put this little device on it. And it actually matched it with what the modern color was, which was like a rockwood green or something. So, so we repainted the arch and the window, and then three of the four panes lasted. We did have to replace one pane, but what's really cool is that is kind of the back entrance into the museum. If you look at the front of the museum, which is just such a beautiful landmark structure, it has those same windows above the doors and on the second story. So to me, it's really kind of a symbolic Pioneer Window.
If you were building a house today and wanted the arch windows, those curved windows like that, that's really expensive. So to think that the pioneers could do that, it must have been a lot of work.
Yeah, and if you look on the front of the what's now the museum, and you see kind of the rock archway, even with the keystone above that, above the window. So it's the craftsmen were just amazing what they did with less. I mean, I also mentioned that wood floor, 100-year-old. We resanded, refinished it. It sits on three beams over dirt. Wow. And we left it like that because it was solid still.
Nice. Now, in the back of the hall are some paintings that were painted by Utah Tech senior Marcus Wetzel. Now, a fun fact about this, they were set to be hung up, was it last Saturday? He was getting married that day.
I know.
And my wife says, yeah, he came in on his wedding day and hung the painting. I'm like, wait a minute, what? He did what? Does his wife know about this? Because I talked to him after the meeting and I said, did you do this before the wedding or after? And he said, I came in before we got married and hung the paintings and then went and got married. So that's a pretty cool story. Dedication, right?
Oh, yeah. And he is so talented.
Yeah.
Amazing. Initially I was a little suspect when I got connected with him about, you know, what kind of art is this? And so finally said, why don't you send me over a few of your pictures? And when he sent them over, I mean, it just the paintings immediately resonated. And I said, these are the type of paintings that should be first exhibited in this remodeled space.
And you used a word to describe them.
Well, I used his word. So here's his words. I have it written down here. He said, my paintings are a tribute to blue collar workers, the American dream, all that makes this country great, and the meritocracy upon which this country was founded. Now, I looked up the word meritocracy.
Yeah.
Can I give the definition?
Do it now. But before you get too far, I want to tell you, remember when Tony Romo retired from the Cowboys and he said, I'm retiring because Dak Prescott football is a meritocracy, and I'm retiring because he's better than me, and he's the one that's going to lead the Cowboys to greatness. Now, unfortunately, that hasn't happened, but that's where I first heard the word, or first talked about the word meritocracy.
I wasn't familiar with it, so I had to look it up, and here's the definition. Meritocracy is the notion of a political system in which economic goods or political power are vested in individual people based on ability and talent rather than wealth or social class.
Yeah, it's very much like the American dream, right?
Exactly. And his paintings are of those early Americans, you know, putting rivets into steelwork on a bridge, you know, welding things or you know, with, you know, harvesting hay. I mean, just all of those, you know, blue collar. I mean, to me, that is kind of America. And I think those are those. I love how he was able to capture those. In fact, he's going to have another art exhibit in April in the hall during. I don't know the dates, unfortunately. But yeah, come Marcus on, Wetzel. Yeah. Remember that name. He's really good. He's going to be an artist that people remember.
So I have a daughter majoring in art up at SUU, and I got to tell you, as a parent, the first thing you think of is, can't you do something real? You know, I mean, you know, can you get, because what is that going to get you? Okay, but and I know Marcus, his mom was there with him, and I was like, you know, probably at first when Marcus told his mom, I'm going to major in art, he's probably like,
but, like most of us, maybe.
Yeah, but when you look at what he's done and how far he's come and how amazing those photos, those paintings are, it's just like, wow, okay, now I get why you want to major in art.
Yeah.
You know, and I wish him all the success. I hope he becomes the most famous person ever to come out of Southern Utah.
Yep.
You know,
it would be claim to fame. And I know he's got three of the, it's a set of five. He's got three done, progress on fourth and fifth. So I'm also looking forward to seeing those other paintings.
Nice. Marcus Wetzel is his name. He's a senior over there at I would have said Dixie State, but it's now Utah Tech.
I know. And I have to joke. I said, I mean, there is not many people more of a Dixie rebel than Lee Bunnell.
Yeah.
So afterwards, I thought, I gave him the American Trailblazer Award. Of course, anybody who knows the background on that, it was a tribute to Brad Stapley and the Bison that he did. But there's nobody who's more of a Dixie rebel than Lee Bunnell, and now he has a Trailblazer Award.
And ironically, Lee was never really a rebel, right? I mean, he was a rebel, but he wasn't a rebel in life.
He was everything that embodies the local definition of Dixie.
Yeah,
and toughness and grit and intelligence, character, all of those things.
I'll go along with that. All right, we're going to get a commercial and weather break in. When we come back, we'll talk about some of the new stores, restaurants, things that are coming to Washington City with Mayor Staley here on the Andy Griffin Show. Be right back.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back. Happy to have on the second Thursday of every month the mayor of Washington City. His name is Cress Staley. Now, if you don't know Cress, he is of Swiss descent. He loves to run. In fact, he's done marathons. How many marathons have you done?
Over 20.
Over 20 marathons. Wow. You should also know that the I shouldn't say the reason, but Cress is not a huge guy. He
5'10", 155.
Okay, so he's 5'8", and 145. I don't know. I'm just guessing. But, I've never done a marathon, Cress. And every year at the end of the St. George Marathon, when I interview the guys that have done it and I see the inspiration, I'm like, I'm going to do it this year. And then I go out running and about a half mile in, I'm like, nah, I'm not doing a marathon. Nah, I've already hit the wall, and I've gone, you know, 1,000 feet or something. So, anyway, but way to go with the marathons. You actually did one back in Switzerland, right?
Yeah, about a year and a half ago. It was awesome, the Jungfrau. Nice. And you finished in the top of the Alps, and you earned that medal.
A little,
yeah, huh? It's about 6,500 feet elevation gain. It's like running from here in your studio to the top of Pine Valley.
Wow.
That's kind of the equivalent.
That's a pretty, and everybody knows St. George Marathon is actually, what is it, 1,000 feet drop?
Yeah, more. Yeah.
More? Yeah.
Yeah. So. And the benefit on the St. George Marathon is that you can run a negative split because that second half of the course has such an elevation drop. So if you leave a little in the tank and you just throw your legs out in front of you, you can do pretty good on the second half.
Very nice. Well, maybe someday. Maybe someday. So. Now, Washington City has long been known as kind of a bedroom community. Not a lot of commercial. Old-timers will remember the burger place there in the middle of the town, and that was kind of about it for a long time in Washington City, but things have changed a bit, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, I say we've been discovered, and we are the second largest city in Washington County with about 17% of the population, and depending on you know what metrics you use, we have about 40,000 residents. And we have a significant number of second homes. Often people will say from the Wasatch Front or Northern Utah, I have a second home in St. George. Oftentimes it's in Washington, Siena Hills, Coral Canyon,
I've heard
Brio.
That before, definitely.
But yeah, so we are a strong number two in population. Nice. But you're right, Andy, historically very content to go into town, so to speak, to shop. And those in the fields wanted to maintain those farm fields, but because we've been discovered, things are changing, and so we're adapting and evolving like all living things do, including cities.
There's even out in the fields a convenience store, Baskin Robbins, et cetera.
Yeah, Whammers.
Whammers. Yeah, I couldn't think of the name, but
and it's popular. People love it.
I know. If you've been to Baskin Robbins on a Friday night, it is packed, man.
And then, you know, they've got like a lot of the ATVers that go out to Warner Valley and Sand Mountain. They'll rendezvous on, you know, Saturday morning there and, you know, gear up, fuel up, for body and machine before they head out for a good time.
Yeah. Some other stuff happening in Washington City as far as businesses. Let's run through a couple of them. First of all, Seven Brothers. I went there once. I'm hearing great things. Everybody's like, oh, this place is amazing.
Yeah. So what's cool about that is new to Utah, new to Washington City. And same with Panera Bread. Yeah. Both of those are new brands here. And what's cool, Andy, is you go through a few of these. Historically, even when I started as mayor with, 4 years ago, we were talking about things we're going to do.
Yeah.
Now we're talking about, here's what we've done.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's not just the talk. These are results. So these are opening. In fact, I went to Panera Bread a few weeks ago after a morning hike with my wife. The line was so long, we just went home and made sandwiches instead.
We were able to get in. Now, we like to eat at off time. Do you know how you can go to a restaurant in between 12 and 1:30 or 2, it's packed, and in between maybe 4:30 to 7, it's packed. We like to go like at 3 when there's not that many people there. And we went to Panera Bread about 3 o'clock, and it was actually, we walked right up, so it was pretty cool. So, Panera, but there's also, I think it's Quick Quack, right?
Carol? Quick Quack, Cypress Credit Union, the Maverick, additional. The Cypress Credit Union is designed to have office space and quick serve retail, so there could potentially be some more restaurant. And I think there's another pad site there as well. And a lot more is going to happen there in that general area. But and then Seven Brothers, you don't have to go to Hawaii anymore. I mean, you know, it's probably worth going to Hawaii for Seven Brothers. But if you don't have the time,
you can,
you know, come to Washington and feel like you're at the Big Island or whatever island you like.
Questions I get, and you probably get a lot about, is first of all, the Auto Mall, and second of all, Winco. Start with the Auto Mall.
Yeah, Auto Mall. Big time ribbon cutting last week with Findlay Hyundai. That moved over from St. George. They had their CFO up from Las Vegas. It's a beautiful facility. It's kicking off a lot of momentum. The Siena Hills Auto Mall, about half of those lots have already sold. All of the freeway fronting lots have sold. I know Findlay picked up another 6 acres. Additional lots have sold. So, again, it's not just talking about it. This is what's happening. And I know that there are additional negotiations with additional dealerships and hopefully new brands coming to Southern Utah at the Siena Hills Auto Mall. I mean, it's a beautiful layout. Go drive through it. Go check out the Findlay Hyundai. Talk to Tim and those guys over there. It's a great facility.
What about Winco? One thing Washington City hasn't had especially since Nice and Grocery closed, was a place to go shopping for food. And Winco, how far away are we? When does it start to, as McCray Hepler likes to say, go vertical?
Yeah.
And when do you think it'll open?
Yeah. So Winco is not new to Utah. but it will be new to Southern Utah.
Oh, I love Winco, by the way.
And it will be a regional draw. So we anticipate our neighbors throughout the county, even into Iron County and other areas, coming to Washington to shop at Winco. The last update I had is, first of all, they're fully entitled. Construction drawings are around 80%. So we are confident that, to use McCrae's words, Winco will be going vertical this year, 2025, and I believe they'll be open in 2026. Now, what's cool about the Winco site is they have additional pads around the perimeter. And then along Buena Vista Boulevard, if you go kind of go west from like the boilers, Ball Ventures is also entitling pad lots. And so you kind of have this I-15 commercial corridor that's ideal because it's on a frontage road that parallels I-15 to the north side. So it doesn't affect or interrupt these amazing neighborhoods and communities, but it gives us that sales tax revenue that we desperately need to continue the quality of life we have. And by that, I mean, we continue to prioritize funding of police and fire, roads, and open spaces for that active, outdoor, healthy lifestyle we live here in Dixie.
Yeah, and by the way, speaking of active lifestyle, my wife took me on the Grapevine Trail.
Well,
she wanted to go hiking, and I recommended the trail, and yeah, that was pretty awesome.
You know, I was there on Sunday with my 5-pound Yorkie, who was not in a good mood. He was not, like, we walk around the neighborhood, he's game, but for whatever reason, he wasn't game that day, so finally I just picked him up after about a mile, we went back, but there is so much use of that. That trailhead is beautiful. It's, you know, state of the art, really, and it gives access into this network of trails into the Red Cliff Desert Reserve. When we were there on Sunday afternoon, e-bikers, hikers, dog walkers, equestrian, trail runners, I mean, people from out of town, you name it. It is just a really nice entry into this beautiful country, you know, this landscape and topography.
Gorgeous.
Yeah. I mean, it's just amazing.
The views of the Red Rocks and Pine Mountain and everything, just amazing. And by the way, when you get back or maybe before you leave, they have a bike fixing. I don't know what we call it.
Yeah, bike repair station.
It has wrenches and all. I mean, it's amazing.
Yep.
And there's a watering stations too
for your horses,
or your water bottles for yourself or whatever.
Maps, amazing. Shade, restrooms, little picnic area. It's perfect.
So like you said, it's kind of state of the art right at the beginning, and then you go 100 yards and it's rugged country trail.
Yeah. Pick your trail wisely. Some are more sandy than others.
Yeah.
You know, so the Grapevine Trailhead out and back itself is really well defined, really easy. But if you're going to get off on Bracken's Loop or Dino Tracks, just make sure you check your maps and know what you're doing first.
Yeah, don't want to call search and rescue if you end up somewhere you can't get out of or something. back to the retail, you got a couple of hotels. And then tell us about Ara.
Yeah. Can I touch on the hotels really quick?
Sure.
So Residence Inn by Marriott is going vertical next to the Spring Hill Suites. We've also entitled a Hilton Brands there. This is off exit 10 near Greenspring. Hyatt House is coming. I want to announce that on SR9 and Telegraph, clear to the East End, Fairfield by Marriott is looking at coming in there. I anticipate a continued hotels, retail, restaurant along that corner. But Ara, we showed drone footage. This is the Ara Southwest Logistics Center. People are still wrapping their heads around this. It's done by Freeport West.
It's huge.
5 million square feet of warehouse industrial space.
Huge.
Intentionally, ideally located adjacent to the parkway, between the parkway and the airport. They've started on two of the small buildings, around 200,000 square feet each.
Those little ones, yeah.
I mean, put that in perspective. That's like 5-acre footprint, and those are the small ones. And when you see these buildings, like all of the pioneering underground roads, utilities, these foundations are poured. But when you see these buildings and the elevations and the design, it's going to be a real asset, not only in terms of, you know, jobs and supporting and diversifying our local economy, but they're really attractive. And they'll open up that whole area for not just residential growth, but commercial industrial development, which we need to diversify and keep our economy strong.
Can you, in a few words, summarize what Ara Southwest Logistics is? What are they doing out
there? Yeah, so it's like Field of Dreams. they build spec space for massive distribution. So like we toured one in West Valley. It was Post Cereal, Specialized Bicycles. These types of large companies that need to distribute their product throughout this region, you know, from California to Colorado and in between, they will hub here. And so these will be high-paying, livable wages jobs, as will the Sandy Hills Auto Mall. Those are livable wage jobs. So these are not only providing sales tax to the city, but also property tax and livable wages, diversifying an economy.
Two things I want to ask you about. We got to get a commercial break in, though. Main Street, what's happening right downtown, and also the historic announcement when we come back.
Okay.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk leader.
Thanks for tuning in today. It's, wow, 10 minutes to 10 already. Just a programming note. Again, there are going to be some people mad about this. I'm sorry, but BYU is on at 10:30 this morning here on KDXU, and we'll preempt about a two-hour portion of the Clay and Buck Show. I know there are folks that say, hey, I tune in to listen to political talk, but we are contracted with BYU, and to be honest, I'm going to listen to it. I'm happy about it, so... Mayor Chris Daley with me today on the Andy Griffin Show. And Mayor, a couple of texts came in. Somebody wants to know, ask the mayor when construction destruction on Telegraph and Greenspring starts. Not sure what he's referring to exactly. Do you know? Or?
Yeah, right at the intersection of Telegraph and Greenspring is developed out. I mean, there's potential for some redevelopment in some of those areas, but I'm not sure exactly either.
Okay. And then Roy asks, is there really a new post office coming by the new Winco?
There has been nothing announced about a new post office yet. Okay. I know that when we moved the sorting out of the current location, it relieved a lot of the pressure and issues. But we are looking at any and all options to move the post office at some point. So it will move, but there's not been a decision as to where.
Okay. One of the big things, I know this is important to you, downtown Washington City, you want to make it kind of a walkable, a place people want to go and hang out and stuff. And of course, remodeling Heritage Hall to the way it is part of that. But also, I mean, you have the old Nice and Grocery. You guys have purchased that now, right? Washington City owns that?
We closed on it last month. Yes, okay. That entire block we own.
And then that, remember the building they started, poured the foundation, built some walls up, and then they left it, I guess.
Yes.
That has been torn down, but there's still the pad there.
Correct.
So what's going to happen in those areas?
So we've assembled around seven, depending on what you include, 7 to 8 acres of property for partnering with a development group to ultimately design and transition the property to this builder at fair value, for them to then build out. Now, the value of the property is increased because of the Main Street interchange. Mm-hmm. So, and then also, you know, there were some areas, if we're being honest, have been and could continue to be considered blighted. Mm-hmm. So because we have this vibrant city that's growing and evolving, we need to reinsert people, reinsert commerce, reinsert activities. So we have what we call an RFQ. That's an acronym for Request for Qualifications that has been prepared. It's a document that will go to the council in 2 weeks. If that's approved, we will send that out looking for development partners, a team that would come in and give basically a bid to partner with the city on making that design. And then my intention would be that, you know, once that design's done, the property transitions to the private sector and it goes vertical. And we're not going to be afraid of increasing some density, increasing some parking, going up, maybe two or three or more stories, reducing setbacks. Overall, though, the main point is quality of life, design, a downtown that people actually can, you know, point to and recognize and that they want to come to. Or even perhaps live there.
Right, right. So the idea behind the RFQ is you guys want to have some say on what does eventually go there, right? You want to say, what do you envision then?
Yeah, so I envision some retail, some restaurants, some housing.
A mixed-use building, maybe, like in St. George?
Exactly, yeah. You know, St. George has done a lot of things right. And if you look at some of the newer development there that they've done, they have found some things that we can really learn from. In fact, we can even learn from some of their processes. So I anticipate that the group that's ultimately, you know, recommended by committee and approved by council, I anticipate us working with their team, their builder, their architect, their, you know, their group with city to move towards something that works for all parties, and then for them to go vertical on that. And it's nothing new. I mean, you look historically, you mentioned the burger place, but even if you go back further, we had what we used to call the White House Motel downtown.
I don't remember.
And it predates me, but we've had, I mean, over the years, we have had more commerce and sales down there than just what we remember in the recent history. Mm-hmm. So it's entirely appropriate to reinsert the right balance of, you know, to me, a blighted area is an entire block that's a vacant grocery store and dirt that's only used for tractor pulls at cotton days. Mm-hmm. I mean, we can do better than that, and change can be a little bit scary, but we're also going to engage with the community, with the public, with the residents, like we did on the Heritage Hall. And I think what they've learned from that is we get it right. We can strike that balance, but we're going to get their input, and we're going to find the right partners on it.
All right, that's we got like 4 minutes to talk about the historic announcement. The historic canal trail, tell us about it. I did write a story about it on 890kdxq.com, yeah. But it's nice to hear it from the horse's mouth, so to speak.
So I've been hesitant to, this has been on my mind for almost 10 years, since I was on the council. And, you know, they had the open ditch canal that flood irrigated the alfalfa fields primarily, and even that my grandpa's feedlot cattle would drink out of that canal, and we would flow inner tubes down it. Anyways, years ago, under Ron Thompson's direction, that was piped, and there's a 50-foot easement that protects it. Now, long-term, that piped canal is a critical part of our regional reuse system, mm-hmm. you know, for our water security. But on top of that, we can protect that space to maintain and repair that pipe, but we can also put a trail over it. Now, over the years, development has occurred, and it's just an easement in a lot of areas. So we have identified 63 easements that we need to build that canal. The trail over the canal. We've acquired 51 of those easements.
Almost there.
And people are buying into this. They're excited about it because this trail starts to connect all of the communities, the residents, the schools, the parks, the amenities, clear along the Washington Bench, basically from Schnaubkeib around through Indian Oaks, down along the bench, past the Horse Motel, all the way down to Crimson Cliffs High School.
Wow.
So people are really buying into this, and I'm so grateful for our community and for those owners that are allowing us to purchase the easements to add that trail. And, of course, that trail system will then ultimately connect within, you know, the Virgin River Trail System, that Country Way. It'll connect down within some of the St. George Trail System south of Crimson Cliffs High School. And it's just part of that active lifestyle. It gets, you know, it gives people a place to ride their bikes and, you know, push their strollers and just, you know, just be out and be healthy.
And it seems like, correct me if I'm wrong, that most of the trail is going to be, like you see a lot of trails are really sidewalks next to roads. This is off-road stuff. This is kind of in between properties.
Yeah, primarily. There will be some areas where it will parallel roads, but primarily over that original open ditch canal. And, I really like the way that I'm intentionally calling it the Historic Canal Trail because I think I learned this that we traveled to Brisbane, Australia a few years ago, and they have a kind of a canal or a trail that goes along a river there, and they had these little pocket parks, these little amenities off the side of it, and they had some like historical information. So I wanted to call it the Historic Canal Trail because I think along those areas of this trail, we need to continue to tell our story of our agriculture and the fields, because at some point the fields are all going to be houses. And people wonder, why do we even call this area the field? So I want them to be able to recreate, but also educate themselves when they're using it.
Now, in April, of course, Cotton Day's coming up, but wanted to talk. We don't have time to really spend any time on it. And next month, when you're on, we will talk more about it. But the George Washington Plaza.
Yep. Ribbon cutting on the 21st.
What does that mean? What is that?
Yeah.
Where is that?
We realigned the road near the Red Cliffs Temple. And that became George Washington Boulevard. There was a remnant triangular piece of property, and we're turning that into a George Washington Plaza that commemorates American history and our local heritage and history.
Nice.
And so it's under construction. If you drive just kind of east of the Red Cliffs Temple, you'll see it's starting to take shape with the pillars and even the pedestal for the statue. And we partnered with St. George and Washington County on the statue by Jerry Anderson. It's already done.
A real George Washington, right?
Yeah, larger than life replica of George Washington.
That is so
for
cool.
The city and county named after George Washington.
That would be Washington City and County. I love it. All right, Mayor, your enthusiasm for Washington City is infectious. It really is, and I don't think that anybody's ever could meet you and go, that guy really loves where he lives. They would say he does. He just loves where he lives, and that's commendable. I like that.
Thank you.
So there are certainly serious issues and things that you have to deal with as a mayor, but today, mostly rosy stuff. I like it.
We'll take it.
Thank you, Mayor. Appreciate you coming on, and we'll have you on next month.
All right. Go Cougs.
Cougs on in about 30 minutes, folks, here on KDXU. Thanks for listening.